Here we go. Okay, Craig, could you repeat? Oh, I'm sorry, this is the 9-11 Truth Teleconference for 10-31-12. Craig, would you repeat the role, please?
Okay, so far I have Ned Delaney, Robin Horden, Lorenzo Fine, Ken Freeland, Paul Zaremka, James Hufford, and Craig McKee.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, we need to approve the minutes of the previous meeting that were circulated by our secretary. Any objections to that approval? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Let's move on into our agenda approval for today. Are there any additions or deletions from the agenda? The draft agenda that was circulating.
Ned Delaney, I have.
Ned, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one issue I'd like to bring up just briefly. It doesn't have to take up a lot of time. And I've always communicated with some people about this, and that's there are some 9/11 websites that appear to be inactive, and particularly in reference to a gentleman by the name of Alan Miller. I guess we can discuss this later, but anyway, I'd like to discuss this at some point before we close up.
Okay, so you'd like a focused topical discussion on the question of defunct 9/11 websites?
That's probably the best way to put it, yeah, particularly, well, yeah, and then I can elaborate
okay.
Later.
All right, give me just one second to pull up the draft agenda here.
This is Dwayne.
Come on.
Dwayne just came on.
Dwayne. Okay. Dwayne's here. Good.
Got that.
Okay, does anybody else have any anything else to add to the agenda?
Yeah, this is Paul. I just want to know about your own item. You have it after Don's item. Just give me a reading on why the ordering is the way it is.
Well, because Don's is actually was put on at his request at the last teleconference already. So it has priority.
So your proposal is for the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Since Don's not here, does anybody have any objection to removing his item from the agenda?
Well, ordinarily we wait until we get to that point, I think, don't we?
We do, but I have a particular objection to this in the first place, so I guess I should raise this as a question of objecting to the consideration of his question. Which I really can't do as a facilitator, so that's going to be tricky. Would anybody like to facilitate for a moment? Would anybody like to volunteer to take my place for a moment as a facilitator?
Sure. This is Ned Delaney. I'm happy to pick up.
Taking it. Okay. I object to the consideration of the question querying our members, so-called members, about the their position on the what did or didn't happen in 9/11, and I won't go into detail unless it wants to be debated. I don't think I'm allowed to debate it until it's open for debate.
Okay, what am I supposed to do? Ask for
ask if there's an objection. Yeah, if there's an objection, then it will go. Yeah, then we'll go to debate.
Objection.
We're talking about moving it up to now, in other words, in the agenda?
I'm sorry?
We're talking about moving it up in the agenda?
No, I'd like to eliminate it from the agenda. That's what I'm asking. I'm objecting to the consideration of this question.
So you need a second? Is that what you need?
No. Yes. Go ahead. Do we need a second to do it? No, but it needs a two-thirds. It needs a two-thirds to pass. It's a problem. So it doesn't need a second, though, I don't believe. Anybody can object to a consideration of a question, but it requires two votes to pass. Ned, you should ask if there's an objection.
Are there any objections to the request for debate?
No, not a request for debate. It's a request to remove the item from the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Well, I would object until I hear the argument. I mean, I don't want to do it just...
So since there's an objection, it's open for debate then, okay?
Okay, so go ahead. Why? What's your debate? What's your point?
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is going to bleed over a little bit into my other issue for today, but we've tried to make it as clear as possible that what we're trying to do here is simply network, work together to find ways to get a new investigation, identify campaigns that do that, and share information and maybe help the movement move forward. But we've also been very clear about not taking positions on things or seeming to indicate that we're taking positions on things, because that will have a divisive effect. It doesn't serve any purpose that we are involved with. And also, the way that this particular proposal is phrased, it identifies people as members. But we've never had a membership requirement, okay? The people who are invited, which is who I assume Don Mazzarellian would like this to be sent out to, some of them have never been on a teleconference. Some of them may not have any interest in our teleconference, but are still receiving our emails. It's ludicrous to consider those people members and then to think that anything that comes from them will represent something that we would want to stand behind. I just don't see the point of starting something like this, and I don't want to go down that road with Mr. Mazzarellian. So that's my argument.
Mazzarellian on the call.
Hello?
Who just entered?
Don Mazzarellian.
Okay.
Big joke. I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's all have a good laugh. Go ahead.
You don't know the backstory, Don.
Yeah. Whatever.
This is Dwayne. Since Don is on the call, it seems like he ought to give his reasons, which would be the opposite of yours, Ken's. But he has not been listening to the conversation, so it would be the problem of bringing him up to speed.
Yeah, it would have been nice if Don were here earlier, but since he wasn't, if Ned were to update him on what we're doing right now, that would probably be the most appropriate thing, and then he can be given an opportunity like everybody else to speak to the question.
Hey, Don, Ken has opened the discussion up about basically the relevance of the proposal that you've made.
I thought we agreed at the last meeting that we were going to be bringing these up. And the other point is that this group does not constitute a quorum. So by Robert's rules of order, you really can't vote on anything. All you can do is discuss something and be presented to the entire group. Whoever's laughing at my email, I wish they'd do it quietly. All right? as I said, this does not constitute a quorum, never has. And you have 150 members that all...
Point of order, this is Dwayne.
Let me finish before your point of order, please, Ken.
No, right. Point of order interrupts everything. You need to be quiet and let the moderator process the point of order. Ned, you're the moderator.
Am I still doing this? Okay. I'm not sure just exactly what I'm supposed to do at this point.
Yeah, point of order, it takes precedence over everything and it has to be heard.
So what is the point of order over what? Because I'm saying that...
You don't have the floor. A point of order has been made and the moderator...
Why do you always insist... Well, who is this speaking by? Who is this? What's your name? This isn't Ken, right?
It's none of your business. You need to be quiet.
I'm asking what your name is.
My name is Ken Freeland. What's your name?
Okay, I didn't recognize you. Ken, why is there always a point...
You'll have to ask the person who raised the point of order, and if we could just get you to be quiet, Don, we could find out what the point of order is, but we can't. You won't let that point of order be raised. It needs to be raised because it's already been raised.
Doesn't constitute a
you need to be quiet, Ned. You're the moderator, Ned. Please make some order here.
If I'm still a moderator, can we go back to the agenda then? And we've already done the approval of the previous teleconference.
I'm on a cell
A point of order has been raised, Ned. You have, as a moderator, you have to stop everything and listen to the point of order. That's the way it works, okay?
Okay.
Somebody's saying that we're out of order, okay?
So the point of order is?
Where do we go from here?
Oh, well, Dwayne is the one who raised the point of order, and that's me. So I should state what my question is.
Yes.
Which I will go ahead and state. Don made the blatant statement that we don't have a quorum. Quorums are usually defined in bylaws. They usually are defined to be appropriate for the group. And they're usually small enough so that the group can conduct business and not have to have all members or a very large percentage of them.
I'm having a hard time understanding. Because I'm on a cell phone.
Don, let me finish. I don't think we have a definite stated quorum, but if we did, it would be a number that is appropriate for the number of people that normally join in the conference call. Maybe it's whoever shows up constitutes a quorum on the call, that kind of a statement.
We're having the same problem. Because everything is picking up.
I'm believing that we do have a quorum.
You're bleeding?
I believe it.
It sounds like you're bleeding. Yes.
Don, please, let him finish.
I believe it, but I want a ruling on it. I want whoever knows what the quorum is to state what it is and not have Don go on under the impression that we don't have a quorum, because I believe we do.
Point of information?
Okay.
Yes, this is Ken Freeland. This group does not have a quorum requirement, therefore whoever shows up constitutes the quorum. That's the way it works under Robert's rules. If you do not have bylaws, if you do not have quorum requirements, then whoever's there is there, and that's all there is to it. There's no question of a quorum when there is no quorum requirement. There never has been a quorum requirement for the 9/11 Chicago coverage.
I want to challenge that, Ken, because I read Robert's Rules of Order, and it's based upon the entire membership, not the number of people that are on this call. Your membership is 150. Robert's Rules of Order generally says a majority of your membership, which it means more than 75. Since we only have 15 or so maximum on this call, this group can only discuss things and present it to the entire membership before a vote. Otherwise, you have a meaningless group. Okay. Well, it's very simple. The entire group should be able to vote on anything. This teleconference should only be able to discuss any proposal and then make modifications that would be presented to this group. This group does not have the legal right to vote on anything.
Paul Zaremka on a point of order. Hello?
Okay. Yes.
My point of order is that there's a proposal number 5, proposal from Don Masserlian. He's asking us to survey the entire membership for 2 different items. Ken Friedland is proposing that be in violation of the intended purpose of this teleconference, and therefore it should be struck. That's the issue at hand, not the issue of what is a quorum.
Well, where do you define what we should talk about in this teleconference?
Well, you proposed it, you're talking about it.
Just see, if you arbitrarily, anything I bring up, you will arbitrarily say, well, it doesn't pertain to what we're doing. I'm sorry. The collapse of the Twin Towers
and
The point is that I would like to know who has the floor from the speaker, please, because it seems to me that Don Nazarian just jumps in here and runs all over everybody.
I'm sorry. This is my presentation and my time for 10 minutes of speaking, and not to be interrupted by Dwayne Geek.
It's not.
Who's a wonderful FBI spy for this group. Okay, Dwayne, why don't you call back to the FBI? You heard what I said. Because you're doing a wonderful job of trying to scuttle anything that makes any sense. Yourself.
All right,
who the hell do you think you're spooling? All right, now I said, I believe I had a lot of time. I had two simple proposals.
Point of order.
Stop it.
Point of order.
No, there is no point of order when I
point
have
of order.
Speak.
Mr. Fu.
Why don't you go right at your point of order hole?
Mr. Chair? Point of order?
Yes.
Who has the floor, please?
I do. Because this is my point right now.
Are you the chair?
I have 10 minutes
for none of your
stuff.
You
shut up.
Wow.
You shut up. Go back to the FBI or the CIA and shut the hell up. Okay?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Geets. Don't tell me you're a member of the group.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Stop interrupting. I have the floor, not you. I have the floor.
Who has the floor, Mr. Chair?
Just wait a minute, please. At this point, I'm not sure who has the floor.
I believe whoever
you give it to, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, it's whoever you give it to, but not whoever jumps in and dominates every other
person.
Over everybody else, and then accusing people of being FBI agents.
Okay.
Okay, we kind of got away from the order of the teleconference agenda. Can we?
Yep. Not a surprise.
Can we backtrack and cut this discussion off at this point and go back to the actual agenda format? And move into item
No, sir.
Four.
Mr. Chair, the reason why you are the chair is because I cannot facilitate my own request, which is that we remove Mr. Mazarian's item from the agenda. Until that's resolved, you're the chair. But once that's resolved, I'll resume the chair. Okay?
Okay.
Is Don Mazarian still on the call? It doesn't sound like he is. Mr. Chair, I think we may have a moot question here.
Okay, what's the question?
Well, the question was removing Mr. Mazarian's item from the agenda, but he doesn't seem to be on the call anymore. Therefore, I'll remove the motion so that we can move on, okay?
Okay, is there a motion or a second to remove this item from the agenda?
Second.
Item's been seconded and removed.
Well, why don't we all vote on it if it's seconded?
Can we vote? Okay.
It's seconded. Yeah, if there's no discussion, then vote.
Okay, is there any further discussion? If not, can you take a vote then, please? Let's see, could we do this based on the roll then?
Sure, would you like me to?
Or just simply ask for...
I think it'd be better to call the roll and ask.
All those that are in favor say yes. And those...
Yes.
Those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Item is removed.
Thank you, Matt. I'll resume the chair then, if that's okay.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. All right. Now then, the first item is
Are there any other items to be added or deleted from the agenda?
Ned Delaney, just the one that I referred to earlier.
Right. You want how many minutes you want for that, Ned?
Well, it shouldn't take any more than 5 minutes.
Okay, great. So 5 minutes on defunct 9/11 truth websites or dead links. Okay, so we'll put that at the end of the agenda. So now we go to our first item, which is the letter to Elizabeth and David proposed last month by Craig. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one little item I wanted to throw in here very quickly, if nobody objects. We have gone way past 6 months, the commitment, minimum commitment that Craig McKee made as Secretary of this organization. And I just wanted to take a moment to publicly thank Craig for the outstanding job that he has done as our Secretary in keeping the continuity and the memory of this group and never complaining, and particularly after the last teleconference, which actually gave him quite a bit of work. He got the whole thing done without any problems. So I just think we owe it to Craig to thank him for continuing to participate in the way that he is to keep the teleconference going.
To Craig.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it.
Yep. And I hope you'll make a note of that in the minutes. Okay. So now we're on Craig's item from last week. He introduced a letter last month, but we were unable to process it because there were audio difficulties. And Craig graciously agreed to postpone it for a month until we could all hear what he had to say and what the debate was about the questions involved. So he has revised the letter and sent it back out again, and it was published in the draft agenda. And so, Craig, if you want to go ahead and motivate your letter on behalf of our organization, of our teleconference to Elizabeth and David.
Okay, sure. Thanks. The revision was pretty minor. I just basically took the whole first paragraph out and just kind of got more like straight to business. When I wrote the original letter, I was trying to be, pleasant and, pleasant sounding as possible and sort of cooperative as possible. And I probably went a little bit too far in doing that, as a couple of people pointed out to me. So I agreed with that. So I just took that out and basically started with, I won't read the whole, I guess I don't need to read the whole letter, but I can say that what the basic idea, the first part of the letter is basically kind of a following up the one that we sent, I guess in the summertime, questioning the use of the word attacks in the material, the consensus panel's material. And we sort of got, we didn't get a real answer at the time because Elizabeth Woodworth and David Ray Griffin were both traveling, and so we were sort of told it would have to wait till they got back. And they had also talked about possibly putting up a page on their website defining terms so that people would know what they meant by it, words like attack. So that, to my knowledge, hasn't happened. So the first part of the letter, I think I probably could have sent without a vote, just because it's just a follow-up to say, like, so do we, do we have an answer on our original letter yet? But there are a couple of things I've added to it. And one of them is that in one of the points, and it was also in the press release that was sent out in the summer, they made a reference to, and I'll read this one paragraph. This is a quote. Official sources claimed neither Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Acting Chairman General Richard Myers, filling in for General Hugh Shelton, nor War Room Chief General Montague Winfield were available to take command until well after the Pentagon was struck about 9:37. Now, so that my complaint there is that it's taking as fact that the Pentagon was struck. Even the time is sort of in some dispute, I suppose, but I was more concerned about the fact that it just referred to this as a fact, which I don't think is agreed upon by most people in the movement. I mean, certainly there's different opinions, but it's not unanimous that something did strike. So that was the first one. Then when they put out their more recent set of 3 points in September. There was another sentence in the press release that they put out there, which said, court exhibits state that leader Mohammed Atta took a still commuter flight from Portland, Maine to connect to AA Flight 11 out of Boston, which hit the North Tower. And I have the same sort of concern here, because it's stating as fact that Flight 11 hit the North Tower. And as I say in the letter, while most people agree that a plane hit or some kind of aircraft hit the North Tower, a lot of people don't agree that it was Flight 11 specifically. So it's sort of asking them to look at this and to sort of respond and, you know, sort of express to us, you know, their thinking in this, because it just seems kind of problematic to me that that these sorts of terms are thrown around. These are basically terms that whether intentionally, not necessarily intentionally, but they are terms right out of the official story. I mean, Flight 11 hit the North Tower, a plane hit the Pentagon, you know, the attacks of 9/11, all these things are right out of the official story. And we, if we're going to try and tell a different story, we need to be careful not to just use their terminology and accept their facts when they're, in fact, you know, not agreed upon. So those were, that basically is the gist of what I've raised in the letter, and just asking for them to respond and to come back with their thoughts on the matter, and also to let us know if they're going to put that list of definitions up on the website. So that's pretty much the idea behind it. So I'll pass it to the session.
Paul Zemke on the stack.
I'm sorry. Paul, and who else? Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Craig, first of all, let me just look at this one sentence you have. Quote, court exhibits state that lead Mohammed Atta took a still, I don't think you want the word still in there, took a commuter flight from Portland, Maine to connect to AA Flight 11 out of Boston, which hit the North Tower. First of all, you don't want the still in there, right? That's a typo.
Okay, I'll get that.
Now,
sure.
Mike, there's more of a problem with that sentence, it seems to me, than simply hit the North Tower, because what it really should say, government or FBI or some whoever, it's the FBI's exhibits. In other words, the government's exhibits, which state that Mohammed Atta was a leader. I mean, that's in contention itself. I mean, in addition. In other words, the whole sentence is very much basically trying to kind of cite the official story without qualification. I think that's your basic problem, right? But on the other hand,
okay.
I mean, on the other hand, it gets convoluted, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be, but it gets convoluted to try and word it in such a way that you're being factually correct, but you know, that the document was provided by the government, which says blah 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 blah. That's a factual correct statement, but at the same time, mm-hmm. not to buy into it. You know, I think that's what we're trying to accomplish here, right? We're trying to say, yeah, watch your language, and I 100% agree with that. But you know, I think the text itself has greater problems than just which hit the North Tower.
Okay.
Let me just ask before I finish here. When you say which hit the North Tower, is that part of the court exhibit or not? Do you know?
Well, the way it's phrased. Well, yeah, I think the way it's written, it sounds like they're saying everything up to that point, and it's just being added on that it's taken for granted that it hit the North Tower.
But the court document doesn't actually say that.
Well, I don't know.
As a factual matter.
I don't know what the court documents say, but I just know that the way it's phrased, doesn't sound like they're taking that fact out of any document. It sounds like they're just stating it as fact. If they said Flight 11 out of Boston and that Flight 11 hit the North Tower, then it would be perfectly fine, because then it would be including that last fact as one of the things contained in the exhibits. But the way they phrase it, it doesn't say that, in my view.
Right. No. Yeah, right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and maybe I even think you're probably right. But I don't know quite what. I mean, maybe we should keep it simple, like you're doing, and not worry about the nuance of whether Atta was a leader, and you know, and the court, what court document, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I have to say for the moment. Let's see what anybody else has to say.
Randy Lanick?
Okay.
I'm just curious as to what court gave or made an exhibit in reference to the issue at hand. I mean, unaware that there was any court action taken at all, formal court action.
Correct. I don't specifically know what they're. I mean, it's presumably that this is explained in more detail in their in the point that they've adopted that deals with ATTA. It's you can find it on the website, the specific point. But I guess I just didn't really look into that because I was more concerned with the language issue that I raised.
The only, Paul here, the only court that I know about is the Misawi trial, so maybe that's the only thing that it could be.
Mm. Right.
Dwayne, do you know that? Dwayne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm abstaining from any comment on this subject.
No.
Do you need that order in the record, Dwayne?
I was just asking whether you know of any other court proceedings on 9/11.
I know, and my answer is I'm not making any comments on this subject.
Dwayne, do you need that noted in the minutes?
Yes, I will ask for that when we get to the vote.
Okay.
Or now. Now is fine.
Yeah, I've written it down. Yeah.
Okay. Any objections to Dwayne's notation in the minutes? Okay. Go ahead.
Well,
I will see.
I don't care who answers. Does anybody know of any other court proceedings?
Doesn't sound like it.
Yep.
Okay. Robin?
Yeah. Let me get off speaker. Yeah. On these, when we get to a position where we don't want to accidentally reestablish the official conspiracy theory, it seems to me that prior times, just inserting the terms alleged to be in whatever, okay, things that you know, Griffin and the consensus group came up with would be the better way to go. That's just my thought. It just, in other words, I think that allows a greater amount of freedom for open discussion down the road, which is what my objective always is. That's all.
So you would say court exhibits allege that leader blah, 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 blah.
Yes. For example, Muhammad Atta alleged American 11 alleged to have struck the tower. Now, I have my own strong feelings about American 11 from the air traffic end of things, but I'm completely comfortable with keeping, you know, reasonable avenues of suspicion, discussion, or further research open. I just think that's very important.
I'll take Paul again.
Okay.
When it says in summary, now, Craig, maybe I'm talking directly to you here. When it says in summary, that sentence is fine, but why don't we add on a sentence that we encourage conscientious use of the word allege.
Yeah, I think that sounds...
conscientious? Is that what you said?
That's the word I'm open to another word. That's the one that came to my mind.
I'm not sure that's what you really want to say, though. I think you want to say something to the effect that it's it's frequently used, right?
I would say the relentless use of the word.
I was talking about responsible, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Maybe responsible would be better. Judicious, maybe. I don't know. It's tough. Look, anybody have a suggestion on how we might phrase that request?
Appropriate.
Liberal. I'm a liberal. How about that, really?
I'll go back to relentless.
Oh, relentless. That's not bad. That says it. I didn't hear that one.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Is that okay, Craig? You okay with that? Craig? Uh-oh. Did we lose Craig?
Craig.
Earth to Craig. Well, maybe he muted himself while he was giving out trick-or-treat candy. Who knows? All right. Well, we really should probably postpone this until Craig is back on. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Sure.
I don't see how else we can handle this particular topic. All right, let's move on then temporarily. We'll table that until Craig gets back on. Craig, is that you? Hi, who just joined the conference? Oh, brother. Mr. Guest.
Does this... indicator go off when somebody leaves the call also?
I think it's a different tone.
The high beep.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Hey, Craig. We wondered what happened to you, man. Did you get trick-or-treated or something?
I could hear you fine, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, you got muted.
So I just hung up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How do you feel about the word relentless? Are you okay with that?
What was the word again?
Relentless. Relentless use of the word alleged.
I don't know if I'm crazy about saying the... I don't know. Somehow that sentence seems...
various?
I guess what I would have... What I would have suggested is...
Go ahead.
What I would have suggested is that we say something like, you know, to make it clear that the consensus group should make it clear in their literature that certain points are alleged and not certain, or something like that, rather than use the word alleged.
Suppose you said it that way along with as often as possible.
Any point that's not known should always be say alleged. They should always.
Well, if you put it that way, I think then it's clear.
This is Lorenzo. I'd like to make a point.
Go ahead, Lorenzo.
That until there is a real investigation in almost everything that we're speaking about is based on allegations.
Good point.
yeah, all the more reason not to sort of assume that we have all the facts necessarily.
Robin on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Ralph.
We're getting to the point that I'm talking about, and that is that what we do not want to have happen is a automatic or systemic repeat of the official conspiracy theory. So I think the words should say something along the lines, when certain presented facts are in dispute, that using the term alleged, you know, using the term alleged should be used appropriately. Just got to build the window into further investigation and not necessarily present anything as we have settled on anything, because I don't think we have that much.
Yeah.
So I'm not a wordsmith. I'm just trying to
stop.
I'm trying to stop Griffin and the gang from painting us into a corner that we can't get out of, which I think is what Craig is saying.
Right. We also don't want to make Craig wait any longer to be able to send this letter, because he's already had to wait over a month because of the technical problems last month. So, Craig, can you do you think you can come up with a sentence to capture this that we can work with?
Sure. I mean, yeah. Do you want? You mean right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Based on what you've heard.
How about something, okay, in its material, we would ask that the consensus panel, in its written material, make it clear that certain points are, the points it's still in dispute, let me try that again, that the word alleged should be used with points that are still in dispute, or that are in dispute. Anybody follow? I changed that so many times.
We're getting there.
Yeah. I would definitely take the wood out of it. I just think we ask
okay.
That. It's just, we can be that strong, I think.
Sure.
I'm
sort of writing as I'm in this channel.
Well, how about if you said it's something like this, Craig? We ask that whenever any event is mentioned, or any phenomenon is mentioned, which is in dispute within the 9/11 truth movement, that the word alleged be used rather than stating.
Reinforcing the official conspiracy.
Very good. Rather than reinforcing the official version. Yeah.
Lorenzo again.
Lorenzo, go ahead.
There are a lot of us in this. Not in this particular call, but in the alleged truth movement, who are who have different points of view, and there are a lot of allegations. And there's been an awful lot of name calling going on between people that have taken stands for either the potential use or the possible use of thermonuclear devices, or for the type of controls that were used for whatever aircraft, controls were used for the aircraft that struck the towers. It's a real difficult shot listening to all my friends, especially on the Facebook groups, that have all these different opinions that they believe are the truth.
So what's your point?
That almost everything that is spoken about what happened on 9/11 is an allegation.
Craig, why don't you read again what you've got?
Okay, yeah, I've had time to write it down, so hopefully it'll be a little smoother. We ask that the consensus panel, in its written material, use the word alleged when points are in dispute, rather than reinforcing the official story.
I think it gets it, man. That sounds good. All right, what do y'all think? Does anybody have any problem with that wording?
Nope.
Good deal. Okay, I think we got consensus, Craig. Any other discussion about the letter before Craig sends it? Okay, hearing none, then the letter's good to go with that amendment, right? Right.
Well, let's vote.
Okay.
then if you want to take a vote on it, we can do that. All in favor of sending out the letter with the amendment that we've just agreed to, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. And so it sounds like it's unanimous, or there is no objection in any case.
With one abstention, right?
This is Dwayne. Be sure you have all abstained. Right. Aye.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Yep. I should have asked for an abstention in this case. So it was one abstention.
Yeah, I've got that for sure, Dwayne.
Great. Okay. Now, where are we at in the agenda? Okay, it looks like we're going down to the Missourian issue that I introduced. This was a proposal for a special rule that Dimezourian would be required to gain the support of at least two participants of any of the three preceding teleconferences in advance of submitting any proposal for inclusion in the teleconference's draft agenda. However, based on tonight, I would like to permission, and this will require two-thirds vote, unfortunately, to amend this proposal to remove Don Mazzarellian from our list of invitees for the second time. So I guess I need to take a vote on whether I may amend my proposal after the fact. It requires a two-thirds vote. All in favor of allowing me to amend my proposal, say aye.
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 Any, all opposed, say nay. All right, thank you. Then that's how the proposal will stand. And since it's my proposal, I guess I need somebody else to serve as the facilitator for this issue. Ned, would you care to
do the honors? Yeah, I'm fine to stumble through this.
Thanks. Okay, may I introduce the motion?
Okay, so I asked for you to make the motion. Is that what we said?
Yeah. So I get a chance to, since I introduced it, I get to speak first to it.
Okay.
Don Mazzarellian has been around almost as long as the 9/11 Truth teleconference, but his abrasive manner and his disrespect for the order caused him to be, at the insistence of the former facilitator, Jonathan Mark, to be removed from our list of invitees. And this was after many, many attempts to try to get Don to agree to the order of the group. A couple months ago, he requested to be readmitted. I put it to the group. The group agreed that he should be given a second chance based on his willingness to respect the order of the group. And so he's been given that chance, but I think there's no question that he has not shown any intent to either honor the order of the group or the mission of the group to stay within the framework of our limited teleconference agenda. He seems pretty keen on making sure that we take fixed positions as opposed to being open to everybody who wants a new investigation. So I think it's time to pull him off the roll again, and I would hope that others will agree. That's all I have to say.
Can we take it? Do we open this up for debate at this point?
Right.
This is Dwayne. I don't know whether there's a second, but I second it.
Okay.
Thank you, Link.
Sorry. Is there discussion at this point?
No, just vote.
Okay. So, all those in favor, say yes?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Those against, say no. Are there any abstentions? It's unanimous, and the item has been carried.
Thank you very much, Beth. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, the topical discussion. We have two. The first one is the reported crash of a small aircraft in the vicinity of the Pentagon heliport, as reported by Barbara Honegger in her Vancouver hearings presentation, which were linked in the draft agenda. that since it's my item, I'll just go ahead and just say a few words, and we can go ahead and talk about it. I hope that others have taken the time to read Barbara's Vancouver hearings presentation. Those of you who weren't present to hear it, I think it's incredibly cogent that she makes this case that a small craft, a smaller airplane, or smaller aircraft of some sort, crashed in the vicinity of the heliport prior to the alleged incident at 737. And the witnesses are pretty, I don't know that you can get any more stellar witnesses than two firefighters who were in the vicinity and talked about having to dodge out of the way of the plane. But I guess these firefighters were not actively engaged in fighting fire at the time. They were simply there, from what I can understand, although I need to research this further. But the fact that they state that this plane, and there are several other witnesses, say that they saw this plane, the wing hit toward the teleport, and then it either exploded or crashed or whatever. I mean, it's just incredible to me that this could have been omitted, even from 9/11 truth doxologies this long, if there are that degree, if there's that degree of corroboration. But I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention and ask what others think about it. Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, I did read a bunch of work with Barbara on this whole thing, and the way that I approach it, I think that it is a another avenue of research that we should not extinguish. We should keep on researching for this. My overall view of what happened at the Pentagon, unfortunately, is going to come down to two elements. One are the variety of eyewitness, those witness reports that I think they're the only reliable thing that we have. I'm convinced that the radar data is flawed. I'm fabricated. Convinced the FDR is fabricated. And then the only other thing that I can't get myself around is the damage to the generator. So I'll pose a couple of questions to Barbara myself about this. And it seems to me that the single weakest comment he brings forth is that if there were another crash of an aircraft in that area, how it got past the fire truck and how there was no jet fuel smell, sort of at the same time that people were reporting just as of cordite, I'm looking, I'm not taking any position, I'm just saying, this just raises those two particular questions that I have. But I just really want to support everybody looking at the Pentagon from a whole wide variety of point of views. And I think it's going to be the eyewitnesses that give us information. That's all I've got to say.
Okay.
This is Dwayne. Robin, Robin, when you talked first about the eyewitnesses, you had a word which I missed that either was supportive of the eyewitnesses or not, and I'm not sure which eyewitnesses you were talking about. Can you clarify that?
Yes, Dwayne. I am supportive of all eye, nose, and ear witnesses as to what they reported in their own intrinsically humanistic, slant, flawed ways. I think this is the only real evidence that we have. Because it's so contradictory, it's just going to be hard to decipher what really happened. But I just really think that they are the only legitimate or perhaps proven to be illegitimate evidence that we have. So I'm at eyewitnesses and the generator damage. That's the two things that I got going for me at the Pentagon. Everything else is fabricated.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else like to speak to the question?
This is Dwayne again. Can I ask one more question of Robin?
Sure.
Robin, on the generator damage, what is your best reference that you consider to be reliable about the generator damage?
The reference that I have are some pictures that I have seen that shows damage to the low cement wall, the top left corner, seemingly struck by a curved impact device, and then in the top center right, streak damage along with it, along with the fact that the generator was displaced towards the Pentagon. Dwayne, I'll be blunt. I've been trying to ask this question for 4 or 5 years now. I think the generator and lower wall damage is to the Pentagon event what the dust is to the events on Manhattan. I believe that if there were somebody with aviation or mathematical skill sets that are analytical skill sets that are beyond mine, that figured out the exact dimensions between the low wall damage to the left, presuming that that would be the left engine nacelle, the top left damage to the generator, presuming that that would be the right engine nacelle, and then the top center damage to the generator, which is a very narrow streak, which would be an underwing aperture, either a flap track or possibly what I would suspect would be an underwing fuel tank mount, an underwing armament mount. If we analyze those three points and we considered the dihedral of the wings of a Boeing 757 and put the left engine nacelle at the wall and then measured towards the right, towards the generator from there, okay, I think what you would find is that the underwing, let's call it flap track, of a Boeing 757 would pass above the generator and not make that streak. So my instincts are that it's a different air vehicle, perhaps a military air vehicle that has underwing mounts and supports that extend abnormally low because they need to be extended low so the ground crews can attach either armament or fuel tanks. Dwayne, I just can't get by this. I can't get by this. This is the one thing in the Pentagon that just, I can't get by it. It's like,
can't get by what? I don't get it.
The three elements of the damage to the low left wall, the top left corner of the generator, the center part of the generator, that streak, and the fact that the generator was displaced towards the Pentagon. That's the only evidence to me that says there was a air vehicle impact.
Okay. Thanks, Robin. I'm going to look into that.
The generator is at the point of alleged 757 impact, right?
Well, I'm not claiming 757.
No, but I'm saying that's the part of the Pentagon you're talking about, right? The point of the alleged 757 impact, right?
150 feet away from the sidewall. I've asked pilots for 9/11 Truth. I've asked Jim Hoffman. I've asked everybody who I think has superior mathematical and analytical skills than I have. Aviation experts, everybody. I said, look at this, because the impact on that left lower wall, if it was an air vehicle, the impact on the left lower wall, the impact on the left top corner of the generator, and the impact and damage on the streak is going to turn up one and only one model aircraft on this earth or air vehicle on this earth. Only one is going to be able to make that.
But you're already saying that that evidence shows that there was a vehicle in the air? Are you already convinced that there was a vehicle in the air because of those three pieces of evidence?
What I'm saying is that is a bit of evidence that I can't get around, Paul. I can't explain that damage in any other way other than some form of an air vehicle, and that's the only evidence to me that fits that there was an air vehicle impact. But I don't know what went on in the Pentagon. I'm not saying anything specific. All I'm saying is if there are scientists and people who can really analyze the exact distances and measurements, okay, they may end up saying the only air vehicle on the Earth that could have made these three points of damage is a blank. Not saying anything.
Robin, again, my question to you was: this generator would have been in the trajectory of a plane hitting where the 757 is alleged to have struck, right? That's the area of the Pentagon you're talking about. Is that correct or no?
That is correct.
Okay, because my question here was more about the heliport, which is a good distance away from that. But okay.
Does
anybody else have a comment? Yeah, I understand. I just wanted to clarify that because I wasn't sure if you were talking about the same spot or a different spot. Okay.
Talking about the south of that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anybody else have a comment? We're about out of time on this.
Yes. There's another website called National Security Alert. It's called Citizen Investigation Team. .com that did an early investigation of analysis of what happened at the Pentagon, and they interviewed the website's still up. In fact, I just happened to write them this week about another matter, but they have a number of interviews that are posted here with security people and people that are witnesses of people that were in and around the vicinity of the Pentagon at the time of the event, 9/11. Anyway, I thought that might be of interest or significance to this discussion.
This is Lorenzo, and I would like to discuss that.
Lorenzo, hold on. I think Craig was on the staff too, weren't you, Craig?
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, and then Lorenzo. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I guess it's good that Ned mentioned CIT, Citizen Investigation Team. I mean, in terms of eyewitness accounts, I think the interviews that they did, which were on camera, were extremely credible, and the people that they interviewed were very clear that the plane was on the north side of the gas station as it approached the Pentagon, and if that's the case, then it could not have hit all the light poles, and then you know, and basically could not have hit the building. But going back to the Barber thing, I read this a few months back. I don't really understand how this could be true and how, like, even what would be the point of why would there be a small plane crashing at the helipad, and why wouldn't we see pieces of, like, significant wreckage and I don't know, the whole thing just seems kind of off the wall to me. I mean, I guess I haven't maybe read all the details of all her evidence, but it just seems incredible to me that, first of all, we're talking about, you know, a large plane supposed to have hit, and there's no real evidence of any major pieces of wreckage at all. And then this just seems kind of hard to imagine that there could have been a crash.
Lorenzo, and then I'll respond to you, Craig.
And then I want to be on the list, Paul.
Great, thank you.
And then Paul.
There are two eyewitnesses that I have kind of focused on. One of them was standing in one of the bays at the Navy Annex, and he described a twin-engine commuter, not a commercial-sized airliner, but a smaller aircraft. And one of the allegations that I'll make is that after weeks of bombardment by media about what struck the Pentagon, most of the eyewitnesses were tainted. I would believe this, and it kind of fits into another scenario. There was another eyewitness that oh, what was his name? The one that witnessed the flyover, Roosevelt Roberts. The scenario that I tend to pick out is that there was an attack aircraft, as was witnessed by a number of people standing in that vicinity that were interviewed by SIT, and that in my imagination, and I've gone with this scenario a number of times, and it'll taint things, but I think that something like an A-10 Warthog, which is a twin-engine aircraft that could be mistaken for a commuter jet, may have been the attack aircraft, and that it did deliver some sort of high explosive ordnance and then flew over and away, as witnessed by
Roberts.
Roosevelt Roberts, thank you. I let it lay at this
point. Okay, thanks for that. I'd like to respond to Craig's incredulity here. Barbara does show photos that suggest that there was considerable debris around the teleport. It was, however, highly fragmented debris, but there was quite a bit of it, and she put several photos into her presentation demonstrating this. Apparently, whatever it was that she claims hit or exploded at that point, fragmented for whatever reason, and you know, that's a whole other question. But there does seem to be evidence of considerable debris there, as opposed to the lack of debris in the supposed 757 strike zone. So, there. Any other issue? Anything else on this before we proceed to the next question? Because we're really out of time on it.
Remember, this is Paul, and then Dwayne.
This is Paul for Robin. Robin, you didn't really discuss Barbara's work. I mean, tonight you discussed your own ideas about the generator. I want to know what your opinion about Barbara's presentation is, if any.
My opinion is that she has, as usual, broken through the mainstream whatever and brought forward eyewitnesses and other information that has been glossed over, and that what that produces more, the benefit of what she has done is going to produce enthusiasm for additional avenues and lines of research. We just simply need to keep at this. I don't feel that anybody knows anything exactly what went on at the Pentagon. CIT, the OCT guys, the North Course, South Course. I mean, when I investigate the stuff, and I've read almost all of it, I just see viable evidence that contradicts itself. So my point of view is that one way or another, little bits of everybody's point of view are going to end up being the final story. So I'm really glad that Barbara
Let me just ask. I mean, on her website, you're quoted second. This changes everything. I mean, when I read that, if I didn't have an opportunity to talk to you, I would think that, wow, I mean, you are 100% the backer of what she's done, and not just saying, well, this is another new idea that we need to discuss. It's quite different.
Yes, and that is my only disappointment with Barbara, because Barbara knows that the quote that I allowed her to use is, if this proves to be the case, then this changes everything.
Oh, yeah, that's a big difference.
That's pretty far out of context.
But despite that, it's still, you have to break the mold and back up and take a look at another thing and another thing and all kinds of other stuff. So that's what I benefit from. I don't know why she did what she did.
Have you challenged her on that, by the way?
Yeah, half a dozen times.
What did she say?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, speaking of Barbara, I asked her if she'd come on tonight in Q&A, but she said she couldn't until after the middle of November. So she said hopefully she'll be able to be on next time and take Q&A, and I think that will give us an opportunity to pose some of these troubling issues.
when she's here. I'm sorry, Dwayne, did you get your chance to talk?
Not yet.
Okay, why don't you do it to wrap it up for us, okay?
Okay, some of you know this and some don't. This past week I went on record on a blog post on my blog called Chips Falling, saying that whereas I used to be an advocate or believed that there was an overflight at the Pentagon, basically it's the North Pass viewpoint, I now have shifted. And I think that there's more evidence that says a 757 size airplane struck the airplane where the official story says. So
you mean struck the Pentagon.
Pentagon, whatever I said. And I'm saying that in the context of trying to be systematic in taking a large number of things into account. It's a kind of a big picture view. And so I've been dealing with the repercussions of that. Pilots for 9/11 Truth is extremely angry with me. Barbara is upset with me. A lot of people are upset with me. So I'm working my way through that. But I really do think that I can't just go with the North Path witnesses and say everything else must be wrong, which is kind of what that approach is. So I'm trying to incorporate other evidence, I considered evidence, that is contradictory, and trying to figure a way to kind of figure out what happened. As far as Barbara's heliport thing, I view that as a second airplane possibility. I don't view it as the only airplane possibility.
Dwayne, are you on the teleconference listserv?
Yes.
I'd like to ask that, you know, when you blog, when you post a blog, that you send a link there for it, like others who blog, just so that you know, people can take a look at what you're writing.
Well, now that did get discussed on the listserv.
Oh, I know. I'm asking if you could do it routinely, like Craig and James do.
I see.
Okay. All right. So, because I think we have some pretty talented writers and analysts, and I think, you know, the more we see of that, you know, it helps triangulate. Okay, so I think we're way done with this subject. We went kind of over time on it. We have one more focused discussion, and that is the question of dead links to various 9/11 Truth websites of stature. You want to go ahead with that one?
Yeah.
Ned,
in the process of going down through various websites, I came upon paper. Actually, this all involves having been approached by a veterinarian in our area and some other people that are interested in becoming involved in 9/11 Truth. And they specifically were focusing on the medical professional group. And they approached the website and got back with me and said that, that nothing was happening, that that their attempts to follow up on the petition bounced. So I got on, sent some information through, and it came back to me. It loops around to a gentleman by the name of Alan Miller, who's also monitoring Patriot's question 9/11, and basically what's happening is the his mailbox or whatever information corresponds that is coming into him is coming into a full mailbox. In other words, it's not being monitored. The last entries on the medical group date back to 2010, which means there's potential of a lot of people that are interested in participating. Have made attempts to contact 9/11 Truth organizations that are associated with, well, particularly Alan Miller, and nothing's happening. So my question to the group is, does anybody know who Alan Miller is, and are they familiar with with any of these websites so that we could activate these and get them activated so that people that are interested would have an active link to approach 9/11 Truth.
Ned, did you try contacting Patriots for 9/11 Truth?
Yes.
See if they could.
Well, that's the problem. That's part of the problem that goes through Alan Miller. So it goes back to through
him
again.
Oh, that goes through him too. Wow. Yeah.
And there's a number of sites that are listed that he has listed that pertain to 9/11 organizations that loop through his particular web address, and they're all dead filed. The other person I thought that might be able to assist was Robert Bowman, since, you know, with 9/11 Patriots.
Right.
He's recovering from cancer treatment and has been out of touch. And I've not received a response to him on this attempt to contact Alan Miller. So I guess I'm wondering, as far as the medical professional group is concerned, there are some people listed that are founding members. I could contact them, I suppose, and see where they stand on all this. I don't know.
Do they have contact information for them?
There are web addresses, primarily through medical groups that they're associated with, so I'm not sure how I could directly contact them, but I thought maybe that would be one way of following up. I don't know whether I need authority or permission to do something like this as far as...
only if you do it in the name of the 9/11 teleconference group. Would you like to propose that?
Well, that's fine if you think that would be beneficial. Otherwise, I'm just as happy to do this on my own and see if we can't.
Ned, this is James Hufford. I had correspondence with Bob Bowman about 2 days ago, and he answered me back. I don't know if you want to. If you want to send an email to me, I'll see if I can send it on to him. I don't know if I'll have any better luck, but he did answer my email.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote him, sent something out yesterday.
Yeah.
That may be too early to hear back from him. But.
Yeah, maybe.
Why don't we do this, too, if there's no objection? Craig, when Craig mentions this in the minutes, just ask him openly appeal to everybody listening. If anybody knows how to contact Alan Miller or anybody associated with either of these groups, contact you. Okay? Would that be agreeable? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. That's Pilots for 9/11 Truth. And what's the other group?
It's Patriots Question 9/11. The other one is Medical Professionals.
Okay. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Medical Professionals for 9/11 Truth, is that a group?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've wasted another perfectly good hour and a half.
I have an item I'd like to bring up if I still could.
Okay. We've only got a couple of minutes before I have a chance.
Okay, I got a hold of this film that there's been a little bit of buzz about Operation Terror made by Paul Cross, and I found it just absolutely stunning. It's a dark film, but it's a dramatization of just about everything that is in our general sort of consensus lore about what happened on 9/11 and the background planning for it and everything. And, of course, you may know that Paul Cross tried to get this into theaters, and he was just blackballed all the way around. He's just completely shut out, and so he's selling the DVD, and you can get it. And I urge everybody to get that. And my recommendation would be that at our next meeting, we try and get him on the call And hopefully we all will have seen the film Operation Terror by then. It's my thought that we need to scheme and plot and try to get this film watched by as many people as possible and try to create a buzz about it, because I think it would go a long ways toward achieving what we're trying to achieve, which would be to greatly raise the public awareness of what we're saying.
James, would you volunteer to contact him and invite him to the next teleconference?
Sure.
Okay. And can you send us link information as to how to get the film and the cost of the film and so forth?
Yes, I'll tell you. I don't know. Yeah, I'll put it on the Delicon on this.
No, but send it to Craig, please. Send it to Craig.
I'll send it to Craig, and I just think that we really need to get involved with this and maybe put our heads together with Paul and figure out how we can really get this film out there.
Mm-hmm.
Robin on this deck?
Robin?
Yes, I have a copy of it, and I'm going to go back to what Craig talked about earlier. Beware of the Trojan horse thing, okay? Like almost anything at this stage of what we have investigated, other than I'm going to say, you know, what the Gage guys have done, in my view anyways, raises suspicions on some conclusions that they make. But it's still a step ahead. Because in the end, everybody's going to sort of figure some stuff out. I find it to be a worthy contribution, but don't rest your mortgage on it.
Yeah, well, that may well be, but it just does include, I'd say, scores, if not hundreds, of pieces that we would all agree on, I think. That was my... I've only seen it once. I need to watch it through again, but... That's my conclusion up to now. Anyway.
Is it online? Is it viewable online, James?
No. You have to buy it. But there's a website that you can buy it. Ask for it. Now I see it's marked down to $20.
No Lies Radio. It's supporting a great online radio station.
Uh-huh.
5-hour 9/11 telethon every Sunday, 9 to 2 p.m. It's great. Pay the $25. Support. Support No Lies Radio.
Yeah.
What time is it that they have the marathon?
On my time, it is 9. I'm on the West Coast, so it's 9 to 2. So
okay, 9 p.m.
The East Coast?
Oh, okay, so 9 a.m. your time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, would be 2, would be, no, would be...
Noon.
Yeah. Noon.
No Lies Radio is really doing wonderful work.
Yeah, well, they have all along. They have all along. They are a great service, incredible. They are the best of Pacifica, really. The best of Pacifica.
And, Ken, if you're out of here, I just have a one-minute statement.
Go ahead.
Dwayne, this is mostly directed at you and anybody else who was thinking about this. This is where I am regarding the events at the Pentagon, and I'm making no conclusions. This is my working hypothesis. It's based upon the fact that one of the CIT eyewitnesses has made the statement that the aircraft that he saw going just slightly north of the annex was actually in slow flight. It was not flying fast, okay? Again, I'll remind you that I have completely discarded the flight data recorder, and I have completely undermined, in my own mind, my own studies, the radar data that has been presented to us. Each can be matched to each other. I will also tell you that as an air traffic controller, when Danielle O'Brien at the Dulles Approach Control said they saw a high-speed target, that she may have, but what we were given from the RAIDS group in showing radar was by no means a high-speed target in a terminal environment. By no means. It was at best a medium-speed thing. I at the moment am completely throwing out the damage to the light poles. I just, it, 2 out of the 5 don't fit the directional path that they should have taken, okay, had they been struck. What I find possible is that an aircraft, larger type aircraft, flying at a slow speed towards the north side of the annex or over it, it is not impossible for it to be in a right bank over the annex and then turning into a left bank and descending into the Pentagon, striking the generator. That's where I am.
Who's speaking right now?
What's that?
Who just made those statements?
Robin Horton.
Yeah, Robin, this is Lorenzo. Yeah, I would like to talk with you one-on-one at some point about this.
Okay, no problem. I'll give you my email. It's my name, Robin, R-O-B-I-N-H-O-R-D-O-N, at Juno, which is JUNO.com. Please understand, thank you, it is my working hypotheses. So all I got to tell you. But I will tell you, you can take
this. This is Dwayne. Before you go?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brent.
We should mention that Ellen Mariani got her funding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yep. Ellen made it at the last minute. Somebody made apparently a very generous donation to bring her over the top, and it will go toward the Supremes, regardless of what comes out of it. It's gonna head that way. So that was a major grassroots accomplishment. That was all done, word of mouth.
I have no proof of this, but I just have a feeling that it could possibly have been William Pepper. He wanted her contact information, and maybe he made a large donation.
Possibly. It's always possible.
Yeah.
But I will add, if anybody is not working in the streets, I work in the streets with my handing out DVDs, information, my banners and posters and all that kind of stuff between 1 and 5 times a week. And since there has been so many breakthroughs on the PBS gauge thing and the film that we were just talking about and a new book, which is 500 Days, which is crazy. But anyways, things are breaking out there. Okay, things are breaking. I feel terrific about what's going on.
Okay, well, that's a good note to end on. We're a little bit over time. Thank you all for your participation tonight. And our next teleconference will be the last Wednesday of November, which is the 28th, so that's the week after Thanksgiving, and it won't be a conflict. So we'll see you all the last Wednesday, the 28th of November. Sure. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Hey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.